You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, Hour 1 on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. We'll chop up last night's Cowboys win over the Eagles. Look ahead to what the next 7 to 8 games are going to look like for the Dallas Cowboys. And if you're a Cowboy fan, you're going to like what I'm going to tell you. Brandon Staley of the Chargers, head coach. 5 years ago, he was coaching a game against Heidelberg, I believe. He's now coaching the Chargers, fresh off a win in Kansas City. The former University of Dayton grad will join us a little bit later on as well. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Your phone calls are welcome. Operator Marvin standing by. You can also tweet and you can email as well. All the above. Say good morning to Peacock, our streaming partner. Download the app and watch for free all 3 hours. And also our radio affiliates. We're close to 400 cities around America that take this award-nominated program. We knew the Cowboys' offense was going to be good. That's no surprise. We wanted to see how healthy Dak Prescott was going to be. Looks like he has put that injury behind him. The questions were on defense. Despite having big names, and it feels like when you play for the Cowboys, you get maybe an overinflated self-worth there because you're like, wow, you start for the Cowboys. Yeah, the defense. Ooh, historically bad last season. But the defense last night was the co-star, an impressive win over the Eagles. 2 interceptions, you had a pick 6, and Jalen Hurts struggled all night long. New defensive coordinator Dan Quinn getting rave reviews, and rightfully so. The offense is outstanding, but if this team is going to go anywhere in the playoffs, the defense is going to play a large role. And Micah Parsons, wherever they line him up, he might be their version of T.J. Watt. Just line him up and let him go. But the Eagles are a rebuilding team, even if they don't admit it. But it seems like a long time ago when Dak Prescott started out 13-3. That was his rookie season. And it felt like Dallas was building towards being a contender. That was 2016. Cowboy fans, got to have your hopes up. Maybe you're headed in the right direction and can finally live up to the hype that's always surrounding this team. And you start to look at their schedule down the road, and I thought that they could be 8-2 after 10 games. They had the loss against Tampa, although they played him pretty well. You win in Los Angeles against a very good Charger team. You blow out the Eagles, and rightfully so. Then you have Carolina, good defense, a little better offense than you probably expect. Then you have the Giants. You can win both of those games, though. Those are at home. You're at New England. I don't know what New England's going to look like by then. You're at Minnesota. Your guess is as good as mine as to what kind of Minnesota team shows up there. Denver, new and improved, and then you host Atlanta, and then you're at Kansas City. Okay. You could be 8-2. And I think that if you're a Cowboy fan, you would take that, 8-2. You're in a bad division. Take advantage of it. You shouldn't lose any of those games. Now, you will. You'll get picked off by somebody, but that's where you win those games. And that gives you how many wins this year? 11, 12, maybe 13. You got to get home field advantage here, at least for one game. That's the most important part of all of this. When you start to handicap who's going to the Super Bowl, I start with who's going to have the best record, who's going to have home field advantage, who takes advantage of their division. And that's where Dallas has to take advantage of who they play in their division. Same with the Packers. That's why I thought the Packers were going to go to the NFC title game, because they play in a bad division. Take advantage of that bad division with the Lions and the Bears. Vikings, you know, you're not quite sure what you're getting. Jekyll and Hyde there. But when they're good, they can be really good. But we've seen them be inconsistent. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. McLovin, do you have something for me? By the way, Trayvon Diggs has established himself as a very, very good cornerback around the league. Now, do I think that that pick six was an amazing, you know, play by him? No. I thought that Devontae Smith cost Jalen Hurts there. He just seems like he's a little more fragile off the line where you can knock him off his path. And that's why, you know, when this first started, when Devontae Smith was going to win the Heisman, and I said to you, I got an NFL scout who said, Ja'Marr Chase will be better than Devontae Smith in the NFL. And it caught, you know, a lot of people off guard because they're, wait, he's the Heisman Trophy winner. Ja'Marr Chase didn't even play the previous year. I just said, I'm only going by what the scout has told me. Devontae Smith is having a hard time getting off the line of scrimmage. You can body him a little bit. Ja'Marr Chase is off to a very good start for the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah, Paulie.
If any commentator, any analyst says Devontae Smith isn't big enough to play in the NFL, we have to quash that, because remember when anyone would criticize him for that last spring?
Yeah.
You got lit up. Oh, he's not too small. Don't worry about it. Shut up. He's going to be great. It was people told you to stop even saying that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know how good he's going to be. I just know he was the difference maker in college football last year, and he deserved the Heisman Trophy. But you almost have to get him in motion where you can't put your hands on him. And I'll talk to Chris Sims about that. He'll join us coming up. Where, how do you use Devontae Smith so you can take advantage of that extra gear he has when he turns the corner? But Ja'Marr Chase is a far more physical, imposing receiver. And you're seeing him, you know, once he figured out that there's no white line on the football like it is in college, he seems to be focusing in on catching the football. The first three games of the season, scoring touchdowns. What else do you have, McLovin?
Okay, on the Cowboys, what is going to screw them up eventually in the playoffs? Is it going to be Mike McCarthy with a mental error? Is it going to be the officials a la the Dez Bryant catch? Or is the defense going to fall apart? Because we know something always happens in the playoffs.
It's hard to have a bad night when you win 41-21, but I think Mike McCarthy had a bad night. Because you're going into halftime and you're going, when Peyton is yelling, Mike, got to call a timeout. Got to get a timeout. I think the official went over to McCarthy just to kind of help him out and go, you going to call a timeout here? And then he waved him off and I went, that's not good, Mike. And most teams have a clock guy. I don't know if Dallas does, where they go, okay, take the timeout now, then we'll wait, and then we'll take a timeout here. I'm watching last night, felt like Mike McCarthy knew as much as I did. And I'm going, Mike, call a timeout. And then Peyton goes, call a timeout. Yeah, McLovin.
Andy Reid was famously the worst at this. And McCarthy, I think, is a mentee of Andy Reid. They need a clock guy. Then they eventually hired a clock guy.
Because what Peyton said makes a lot of sense. Hey, we're going to call a timeout. I want to show my offense that I have so much confidence in them. We're going to get one more chance before the end of the first half. Now, I know it's not a big deal because you won, but to me it's a big deal. Sometimes it's a microcosm. When it comes down to, is my coach going to out-coach your coach? I don't know that if I'm a Cowboys fan. You want the offense to be supported. You want to have all that confidence to say, hey, guys, I'm going to get the ball back. You know, let's go in and score again. It's almost like Mike McCarthy was saying, no, we're good. No, you know, let's just go into halftime. Small thing, but small things lead up to a big game when you have a big moment like that. And how much confidence are you going to have? This program brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. You can upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. You can find Dollar Shave Club in stores. Ask for it. Or go online, dollarshaveclub.com. And we listen to you with Penny's Bang Biscuits. We have two different sizes now. The big size treats for a bigger dog, but now we have the smaller ones. For your little critters, the biscuits are handmade from scratch using healthy, all-natural ingredients. They're so good. Tyler snacks on them during the show. 20% of all Bang biscuit sales will be given back to hand-picked partners in the pet industry. All right, McLovin, anything else?
Yeah, okay. Who is the most dangerous, non-obvious NFC contender? So I'm taking the Bucs out, I'm taking the Rams out, and I'm going to take the Packers out. If I gave you these teams, who is the most dangerous? The Dallas Cowboys, the New Orleans Saints, the undefeated Carolina Panthers, or the Arizona Cardinals. I'm also not putting the Niners in that list because I think maybe they're kind of obvious. So who's like the team that not everyone picked in the preseason who could emerge?
The Saints. I think we thought that Dallas could win their division. You know, the Saints are in there with Carolina. I thought Atlanta was going to be much improved. And then you have Tampa Bay. And the Saints' defense looks legitimate. It's going to come down to, can Jameis Winston not lose games for you? The Saints still have a pretty good team. But they, you know, they don't have Michael Thomas yet. But I don't know how good they're going to be. I don't know what the ceiling is. Dallas has, There's no glass ceiling with their offense. It feels like, and Zeke ran well last night. Pollard, I like a lot. You know, but you're averaging over 5 yards a carry. Like, if you can do that, now all of a sudden play action works. Looks like, you know, they found a tight end in Schultz. They got weapons there. They got speed on the outside. And Dak looked wonderful. He looked great. But it's against Philadelphia. And I like what they did against Tampa in Tampa opening night. I think if you're looking at who had a great month of September, Dallas is up there on the list. I really believe that. And they found a defensive star, too, Diggs and Parsons. Yeah, you have an impact player up front, and you have a great defensive back. This is what the Rams have. Not to say that Aaron Donald, you know, Jalen Ramsey, that the Dallas Cowboys have, you know, the equivalent. They don't. But if you have that one impact guy rushing, and you have that one defensive back who's a lockdown corner, that's really, really valuable. As you go into the postseason, do I have a guy who can make a play? Do I have a couple of guys who can make a play? Because these playoff games come down to, did you stop them or did you not? Really, that's what it comes down to. All of these games, it feels like. Except for the Super Bowl, and that was a blowout. Yeah, McLovin.
And they're injured all over the place. They'll get Lyle Collins back. They'll get some of these defensive veterans back.
Yeah,
it's they could be even better.
So the Cowboys roll 3 touchdown passes for Dak. The wide receiver Josh Gordon reinstated, and he picked the Chiefs, which was interesting. I didn't know he got to pick where he wanted to go, but Josh Gordon, who back in 2013 had one of the great seasons in recent memory for a wide receiver, that's a long time ago. Long time ago. I think he had 1,600 yards that season. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, 2013, he was 22 years old, 87 catches, 1,650 yards, 19 yards a reception.
Yeah.
Led the league.
But he's been with the Patriots. He's been with Seattle. He's been in and out of the league, and he's going to go to the Chiefs. Yeah, let's see. Anything else that we need to mention here before we get to Chris Sims? Yes, McLovin.
I have a poll option. Are you going to miss Eli and Peyton are off for the next 3 weeks per their contract? Are you going to miss that second telecast for Monday Night Football?
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy it. I don't need the guest. You know, sometimes it's night. LeBron last night was interesting because it's LeBron. He's talking football. Although LeBron wanted to show off, I think, for Peyton and Eli. When you're getting to that second level, you know, and all, I'm like, oh, okay. I thought he was going to, you know, cut off the top of the muffin or whatever it is, or cover two, whatever it is. But, you know, I remember guys who lived in the Cleveland area who talked about LeBron as a football player when he was in high school, and that he was all state. And, you know, he was asking, you know, did anybody approach him? The Cowboys did. He brought up Seattle Seahawks with Pete Carroll during the lockout. But do I think LeBron could have played in the NFL? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, put him at tight end. I mean, he can run. He's big. He got good hands. Like, what am I missing here? If these other failed basketball players are playing tight end, why wouldn't LeBron be able to play? Unless you take that first hit and you're like, I don't like this. Because that's what happens. Sometimes it's like, wow, that hurt. Yeah, Todd.
Yeah, he did admittedly say after getting banged up a bunch of times, like, I don't need this. I could just play basketball. I don't got to deal with getting tackled and banged around like that.
Yeah. He complains about calls in the NBA where you're like, you know, somebody smacks your hand or something. You imagine in the NFL, if you put NBA guys in the NFL and had them complain about contact, that would be great. Like, come on, you got to call that. After every play. Yeah, Paul.
They showed a clip of LeBron in high school, and he's got big shoulder pads, and he's probably 7 inches taller than the defensive back next to him. It looks like a movie where they let a 30-year-old play with a bunch of kids.
All right, what are we going to settle on, McLovin?
I think we should do the most non-obvious contender, because I find your Saints call very interesting. I think they might win that, Paul.
Well, I want to see a little bit more of Dallas, but I like what I'm seeing so far, that if the offense is really good, chews up the clock. I keep that defense off the field. This was how they were successful when they went 13-3. I mean, my defense isn't great, not even good. Let's keep them off. Let's reduce the exposure level. Yeah, McLeod.
But do you have trouble trusting them from the pass?
I like Dak. I'm not big on Zeke. I want to see these receivers in a big game, big moment. How do they do? And then, you know, Parsons is fascinating. Undersized. Going into the draft, you know, my source said, you know, the Cowboys would be lucky to get him. I mean, that's the guy they should be going after. It's just Dallas, you know, with Jerry loves offense, and you need defense. Diggs was a second-round pick, I believe. You know, not even a first-round pick. But I like what I'm seeing. But if you get those easy wins, it's hard to get an easy win in the NFL. But if you breeze through Philadelphia, the Giants, Washington may be not the team we thought they were going to be, then that's the difference. You know, the Chiefs have a tough division here. Tampa with the Saints and Carolina may be a little tougher than people expected. Green Bay should have an easier time in that division, certainly with the Bears and the Lions. That's what you're looking for. The Rams, that's a tough division, top to bottom. You know, that's rival, you know, the AFC West. You know, how many wins can you get? And do you get home field advantage? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Let's see if Chris Sims is territorial. Pro Football Talk Live co-host and, of course, Football Night in America analyst. Two sports star in high school. How would LeBron do as an NFL player? If I put him at tight end, Chris.
I have a hard time thinking he wouldn't be a really good tight end. I mean, if that's what he decided to put all his interest in and go that route, yeah, I would think he'd be able to pull that off. You know, the one thing that I always come to with guys like that, you know, even though, hey, Gronk, right, he's 6'6", 6'7". LeBron's 6'8", plus.
Yeah.
The issue those guys fall into, Dan, is their knees will be just headhunted. That's really the only thing that I would ever be concerned about. I know LeBron James could play tight end and do that. Just nobody, he's just going to, he's so long and so, you know, just high cut waisted, that's where it gets dangerous for those guys because every safety and linebacker is going to go right at those knees, and that's where it gets dangerous.
But you have football players, they played basketball in college, and then they come into the NFL. That doesn't happen the other way around, Chris, where somebody plays college basketball or college football, and they go, you know, I'd like to play in the NBA.
No, you're right. It does not happen. I mean, usually – hey, it's, you know, NBA got some freaky guys, and there's a lot of my dad and I have this conversation a lot. We'll go watch good high school basketball games and see a guy that's, you know, a 6'6" center, you know, in a high school basketball game in New Jersey, right? And he's a high, and then we go and look at each other and go, man, he's blowing it. He'll just be another guy in basketball. But he could be a tight end, or if he decides to put weight on, he'll be an unbelievable left or right tackle in the NFL. He's wasting his time trying to play center in the NBA. You're right. You see that more, I think, on that side than vice versa. Do I think there's like some receivers and DBs and tight ends in the NFL who decided to like, oh, I want to play NBA basketball, I could do it? I certainly do. You know, I look at Russell Westbrook in the NBA and go, man, if he wanted to play receiver and be one of the best in football back in high school, he could have done that too. So I do think it's the two sports with the most athletic, freaky guys as far as sports are concerned.
How would Shaq have done in the NFL?
I mean, he'd be unbelievable. It's almost inconceivable. I don't even know what to think. Like, he'd be impossible to run around if he was a left tackle. Like, how could you ever get around him? He's got good feet, and even if you think he got the edge, his arms are like 6 feet long. He'd push you by guys. So I guess the biggest thing with him is, could he get down in the three-point stands and react to the quickness and everything of that nature? Like, again, now, Shaq is a really big human, 7'1", right? 330 pounds in his career. Again, that's really big and strong. But let's not forget, in the NBA, in the NFL, you got a lot of guys who are 6'4 and 6'5 and 300 pounds and got a lower center of gravity. And I do think we'll be able to push him around maybe more than we think just because of the way he's built. But, you know, he could probably do it. He's such a freak of nature.
All right. Any concerns if you're a Cowboys fan after what you've seen through the first three games?
No, I don't think I got any concerns. It's all positives, I think, at this point right here. You know, the big thing is the defense, It's, of course, they made an unbelievable turnaround under Dan Quinn. They caused turnovers. You know, they're certainly better. But the offense is the story. They're an elite offense. They like you saw last night, they can change the way the other team has to play because they can put such pressure on you on the offensive side of the ball. A lot like the Chiefs or the Bucks or the Rams. It's hard to match up with them. You want to play man-to-man? You're not going to match up with all those receivers and tight end man-to-man. Somebody's going to be a mismatch. And then now we're seeing the run game get going as well. You know, that to me, and a two-headed monster at running back with Pollard and Ezekiel, not a whole lot of concerns. I mean, they're gonna win the NFC East, and they're going to be in the playoffs. That's for sure.
Yeah, I just wonder about Mike McCarthy. This is back-to-back games now where does every team have a clock guy to help the head coach, Chris?
Most teams do, yes. I don't know if I can say to every team, but I would think that, yeah, most – you know, I know most teams, at least a lot of the coach, head coach friends I'm with, have that guy there to kind of be there, be the guy to look at, you should challenge this. Hey, think about these timeouts here. Yeah, that was a blunder at the end of the first half. I think that's where you're going with this, right? I mean, you know, hey, it's 20-7. Again, you have another chance to put one of the elite units of football on the field in your offense who has not been slowed down at all in the first half, and you could put a team away. And I was saying to Florio, bringing this up earlier today, I mean, how many games every week do we look at a game and go, this team's dominating, but they let this team hang around, and now they're going to lose the football game? And to me, yeah, McCarthy's a little bit of a liability with some of that clock management stuff.
3 weeks in, you all in on the Rams?
I'm all in on the Rams. I am, 100%. I, you know, Dan, I picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl. I did not expect it to look like it does this, you know, this good this quickly. That's for sure. But, yeah, fastest defense in football, really well coached, got studs that can make plays. And like we were just talking about on the offensive side of the ball, you know, with the Cowboys, matchup mismatches all over the football field, Stafford in a real offense with talent around him and a good offensive line. Yes, the Rams are going to be here to stay. They're going to be one of the top teams in football.
What would you say to Chiefs fans?
Ooh, I would say, you know, don't panic. It's 1-2. It could easily be 3-0. I mean, it's mistakes and mistakes by them alone that are costing them football games. I mean, that's really the bottom line. You know, Mahomes, no look pass, stupid. I mean, just throw the ball to the guy. He catches it. He's going to run in for a touchdown. He's going to be up 7-0. You know, Tyreek Hill fumbles the next drive. Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbles the next drive after that. You know, the two blunders at the end of the Monday night game against the Ravens. So they got to, you know, just show teams that they can be patient while teams play these prevent, you know, we're not going to let up big play defenses, and show that they can have the patience to just be surgical, like, let's say, you know, Brady and the Patriots and 20 and, you know, his whole career, where you just go, we can't just sit back and play umbrella defenses. They're going to pick us apart. It's going to be a 10-play, 80-yard drive for a touchdown. They just got to show they can do that. That'll bring some teams up again, and then you'll start to see more big plays down the field with Tyreek and company.
Buccaneers go to New England.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah. Well, the Buccaneers are clearly a class above the New England Patriots right now. And I think New England can be a pain in the butt in the football game and hang around for a little bit. But I just don't know if their offense will be able to keep pace. As good as I think the Patriots' defense is, it's a real good defense. You know, the Bucs they're special on that side of the ball. Brady's still got a laser for an arm. They can protect him. And, of course, you know, with all the weapons they got, I just have a hard time thinking that, you know, New England's going to be able to, with a rookie quarterback, keep pace and go on 10 plays, 80-yard drives consistently against the Bucs defense. You know, that's the issue with the Patriots right now. There's just no big playmaker. There's nobody that scares you. And, you know, Mac Jones isn't going to execute the offense to the capacity Brady did in his prime or anything like that. So they're kind of finding their way. They haven't run the ball as well. You know, I think they're a pain in the butt because Belichick's going to have a great game plan, but I ultimately think the Bucs win. Touchdown, 10 points, something like that.
Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host and analyst on Sunday Night Football. How did we come to the conclusion after three games that Ben Roethlisberger's done?
Well, By watching the games, I think that's why.
What do people expect, though?
Well, that's what I listen, Dan. I tried to tell people last year, and I got eviscerated by people in Pittsburgh when they were 10-0, and I didn't put Big Ben as one of the 10 best quarterbacks in football. I mean, they eviscerated me. You know, oh, what an idiot, Sims, hot take, bullcrap. No, just because you're 10-0 doesn't mean your quarterback's one of the 10 best players in football. I mean, come on. You know, and it's been more of a disaster than I would have thought it would have been, Dan. You know, again, yeah, they haven't been able to run the ball. You know, the protection's been solid, but not bad. And to me, it's just bad decision-making, poor throws, like unrealistic expectations of himself in the pocket that he thinks he's going to pull off magic at times. I'm shocked by how bad it's looked, you know, at the quarterback position there in Pittsburgh.
The situation with Chicago, the Jets, the Jags with these quarterbacks, to me, this just illuminates why you were in the position to be able to take a quarterback, because you're not a good team.
Right.
And you know, the Bears got Justin Fields a little bit later in the first round than, you know, what the Jets and Jags did. They're still a bad team. Just because he went a little bit later doesn't mean they might have a little better defense, I guess. But that offensive line's not good. Jacksonville's offensive line is not good. And now you're having people saying, hey, you know, you should sit these quarterbacks. You're going to stunt their growth. And like, what changed from the beginning of the year? Everybody wants the new quarterback in there. And I always say, be careful what you ask for. Because, I mean, like, what do you think happens in these three situations? Is there any chance Trevor Lawrence maybe sits down for a game? They don't have a legitimate backup for Zach Wilson. And Justin Fields, do you put him out there because the line isn't any good?
Well, listen, if they get broken, these guys, and it's like week six, and you're like, oh, no, they're overwhelmed, like, then you pick the wrong guy. I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, it's starting quarterback in the NFL. They've dealt with some adversity, but I think your point's real. Like, too many people are trying to write the headline already about these guys and their careers, and we're 3 weeks in. Yeah, they're not good teams. The Jets got nothing on offense that scares you. No legit game-breaking receiver. The run game's average at best. Pass protection's been way below average. Just go by the look of what you see of the players. Don't hold them to, like, Mahomes or Tom Brady or Matthew Stafford standards right now. They're going to make mistakes. Like you said, the support system's not correct. You know, so, yeah, within that, I'm more in just how does it look? Trevor Lawrence made a few plays in the game last week where I went, damn, there's only a few quarterbacks in the game that could make that throw or that play. Yes, I know he had some dumb rookie mistakes that go along with it, but he looks the part. He'll learn how to play and what he can get away with in situational football. And that goes with Zach Wilson, too. I mean, again, what do people expect there? There's nothing like you could put Brady and Mahomes on the Jets. They're still going to be 0-3. They're still going to be 0-3. It does not matter. It's not them. So to me, it is just about continuing to give them confidence, protect them. Don't fall in the trap of, oh, we're down. We got to throw it every play now and try to make the game look respectable. No, there's got to be a fine line there of protecting your guy for the future, protecting the organization. But at the end of the day, I like the look of all of the guys. I do, and I am always in favor of playing them, get their lumps. Next year, there'll be a different guy, and there'll be a lot to learn from this year.
Well, their quarterbacks, because of their success, that it makes it tougher for those that follow, like Justin Herbert.
Yes,
I mean,
sure.
Justin Herbert looks like a veteran.
Yes. Well, Dan, I would argue, like I always do with everything else, looks like a veteran, but come on, got to take over a team last year that was really a playoff caliber football team that just screwed up every big situation there was possible. Clock management, end of the game, field goals missed, whatever. But, you know, they haven't changed their team around much this offseason other than then they got two offensive linemen. That certainly helps out Justin Herbert. But it's still the same roster there. So, yeah, he was fortunate to get in a position where a team with Phillip Rivers and the year before Herbert was drafted underperformed. So they were better than their draft, you know, placement. Mahomes, of course, he got to take over the second best team in the AFC. And they traded up from 27 to 11 to go get him. And he got to the, so he has that benefit. Yeah, some of these other guys don't. And you're right. People just got to put that in perspective a little bit and just calm down. And they'll get the right support around these guys, and you'll see why they're picked number one and two.
And that's what people have to understand, or at least in the back of their mind, keep reminding themselves, because Dak Prescott goes to a Dallas team that had one of the best offensive lines in football.
Right.
Let me start there. We saw when Mahomes had no blocking in the Super Bowl, he was average.
Right.
Tom Brady can be average if you put pressure on him. Every one of these quarterbacks, there's not a quarterback that's played where you go, hey, got a terrible offensive line. We're going to the Super Bowl. Like, it just doesn't happen. Right. And Justin Herbert has a great offensive line. Dak still has an elite offensive line. Drew Brees survived because he had a good offensive line with the Saints.
Right.
Brady always had good protection with the right. Patriots and the Bucs. I mean, it's not rocket science. You know, that if you have a good offensive line, chances are, if I put Justin Fields on, throw out a team. If I put him in New England instead of Mac Jones, is he more successful? Absolutely, because he has a better offensive line there. But,
yeah, 100%.
I just think people get caught up in the, why isn't our guy, the next Mahomes? Mahomes with the Jets, as you point out, they'd still be winless.
Yes, they would. It's just everybody, we've gotten in this era of just quarterback. That's the reason, win or lose, and that's it. And, I know you've heard me say this stuff before. But come on. Yeah, hey, quarterbacks can certainly cover some holes. Oh, the team's not playing their best today, but he's still awesome, so he'll make up for that. That's what a great quarterback does. He doesn't make a crapola team look amazing. That's not possible. You got to have some sort of support system there. And, I just always, these are what I always go back to. These are my lines when we get into this. Jared Goff went to the Super Bowl. I think everybody sees now he's not a top 20 quarterback in football. Never was, never will be. They went to the Super Bowl. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl and beat the greatest quarterback of all time. It wasn't because of Nick Foles. The Eagles were really damn good. Peyton Manning on his last leg, 2015 Super Bowl. I mean, come on. It was like, let's just hope Peyton doesn't mess the game up. I mean, that's where we're at. I don't like saying that. He's, arguably the greatest quarterback ever, too. But, again, it is about the football team, and we're in this era right now where it's just quarterback, 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 and if we win, it's the quarterback. If we lose, it's the quarterback, and there's just more to it, and it drives me crazy.
All right. Well, glad I got you fired up.
Good.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. Great to talk to you, as always. Thank you, Chris.
You're the man, Dan. Tell all those guys, I said hello there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, guys, Chris says hello.
Hi, Chris.
You jerks.
Hey.
You jerks. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
All right. Hey, you jerks. I'll see you later.
All right. That's Chris Sims. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's the Chargers head coach, the 2-1 Chargers, fresh off the win against the Kansas City Chiefs. Brandon Staley back on the program. Coach, congratulations. Did you watch Monday Night Football?
I took a peek at it. Not very much of it, but took a peek at it.
But if that's AFC games, AFC teams, would you be more apt to be watching them?
I kind of believe in the power of focus. I have a difficult time game planning while a ball game's going on, so one of my best friends is the D coordinator for Philly. So I was taking a peek at it just for a second. And, we played Dallas. So kind of wanted to see how that team looked. And so I took a peek at it, but I'm not big during the game planning process of doing two things at once.
Okay. You just played Dallas. Dallas picks up the win. What is it that you saw with Dallas? Like, what impressed you?
Well, I played them the year before when I was with the Rams. And I know that when we played them that first game of the 2020 season, I just felt like it was a really complete offense because they have a $40 million quarterback who's outstanding. They have a line, you know, with two really all-decade type players in Zach Martin and Tyron Smith. And then you talk about their runners and their receivers. I mean, you got Zeke, Pollard, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup. And I'm a big fan of Jarwin and Schultz. I think they're a really complete offense. And that's what I saw this year. And I felt like, you know, we hung tough for some this year with the Chargers. And I felt like gave ourselves a chance against that team. It's just, they're a really difficult team to defend. And I felt like holding them to 20, you know, we were proud of that. We can certainly play better for sure. It's a really complete offense, and you're seeing it with the way they score the ball, balance, run in the pass game, and they've got a quarterback that can make a lot happen. So they're a tough cover for sure.
Patrick Mahomes was held to less than 6 yards per attempt against the Chargers. That's the third lowest yards per attempt in a single game in his career. What did you make him do that he didn't want to do?
I think that was certainly the storyline in the game for me defensively, is we wanted to put a roof over the coverages. They're a knockout team, and they normally knock you out early, and they do it in the deep part of the field.
Now, when you say roof over the coverage, layman's terms.
Yeah, meaning you're not going deep against us, and we're going to be aware. We're going to catch you when you're running deep. We're going to have people waiting on you in a lot of different ways. What we try to do is have a variety of coverage systems that collect people in the deep part of the field. And when you have all those guys who can get deep like they have with Tyreek and Kelce and Hardman, Pringle, all those guys can get deep. So, and they got a quarterback that can hit you deep. Okay. And a lot of times it's all outside the rhythm and timing of the play. And so to defend them, Dan, in the passing game, you have to have your pass rush and your pass coverage connected. And that's what I was most proud of in the game, because, you know, this guy's a truly unique player, and he's playing with some unique players. So it takes a team effort on defense, and I felt like we played the way we needed to on Sunday.
What's more important? If I said you had to pick offense or defense going into a game with Kansas City, is it more important that your offense is great or your defense is great, if you had to pick one of the two?
If you have to pick one, Dan, it's your offense, because historically this guy doesn't get held under 24 points very much. You know, that's what the data tells you, is that he's going to score. And so I think, you know, it's like defending Golden State. You can't just expect this to be an old school Eastern Conference final, New York Knicks, Chicago Bulls, 83-79 slugfest. It's not going to be played that way. You have to be able to score the ball. And I felt like that's what gave us a chance in the game, was we were 4 out of 5 touchdowns in the red area. You know, you got to be of that mindset to score the football. And so we're fortunate that we also have a complete offense, you know, led by a tremendous quarterback, and we've got really good skill players, and our offensive line is really coming together. So when you play against that team, you got to be able to score.
If somebody hadn't seen Justin Herbert play, how would you describe?
I think he makes playing quarterback look effortless. I think that there's a lot that the way he plays, where he's just really, really smooth, where you don't even realize what's, you know, unfolding before your eyes. Like some of the throws that he's able to make, some of the plays he's able to make, he really makes it look easy. He's just a really smooth player. Like just his stroke, like the way he throws the football, it's such an effortless stroke. It doesn't look like he's straining. You know, he had this throw against the Cowboys. It's a field hash, kind of two deep zone beater. Hey, I'm going to keep my eyes in the middle, and then I'm going to unpack really like a 60 plus yard throw on the sideline to Keenan. And just the velocity of that throw is just really unique, the way he can play the game. And I think the other thing, Dan, about him is he's really instinctive for the position. You know, he plays the game with tremendous instincts on game day. Like he is truly at his best on game day, because he can see the field. He can see the field. He can feel the rush. And he's got those instincts where he's making the right decision a lot of the time. And that's really special. And then, you know, he's just one of the guys too. Like if you see the way his teammates play around him, I think you can tell a lot about a quarterback by how his teammates respond to him on both sides of the ball. And if you look at that game on Sunday, the way our team feels about him, I think tells you a lot of who he is as a person and as a competitor.
Do you sometimes forget that he's played 20 some games in his career? Like that he's a kid out there.
he can make you feel that way for sure. He can make you feel like you're around a much wiser, older player with how he is able to absorb and process and then apply. You know, he just has that capacity. You know, I like that word, like he has that capacity. But at the same time, you do realize that he's at the beginning and you know, myself and Joe Lombardi, Shane Day, we're trying to dive into his game all the time because there's so many areas where he can improve. And what's exciting is that he loves to improve. He loves the work. He loves that process to improve. And, you know, we're still at the beginning with him. But I know that on Sunday, he was a big reason why we won that game.
He's Brandon Staley, the Chargers head coach. They got the Raiders on Monday night. And Coach, of course, went to the University of Dayton. Started 2 years, I believe, at quarterback, going 16-5. Is that right? Do you think is that your one-loss record, Coach?
16-5. I remember all five losses, that's for sure.
Okay, but do you ever sit down with Justin Herbert and you both reminisce about your college days? Like you tell him, this is what I used to do at the University of Dayton?
I don't go back to my quarterbacking days too often. Okay. I'm a lot more impressed by his quarterbacking status, and we try to keep that the main focus. I definitely wouldn't want him to create any bad habits by watching my game tape.
Okay, but what if I had a head coaching quarterback challenge? Who would be the best head coach?
Well, I think I take Justin and I. I'd take Justin and I to the game versus anybody.
Just the head coaches. It's just you versus.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant quarterback
Cliff,
head coach competition.
Cliff Kingsbury, Frank Reich.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, you know, you're talking about some pretty impressive names there. I don't know if I would be able to take, you know, I certainly got confidence in myself. I think it would depend on the competition for sure. But
you got to be better than Gruden, right?
I think that's safe to say.
Wait, that's bulletin board material here for this Monday night game.
No, definitely not. No, I was a freshman in college when they won the Super Bowl and he came to speak at UD. He was doing his book tour. So, he's certainly accomplished a lot more as an NFL coach than I am.
What were you doing 5 years ago this weekend?
5 years ago, I was at Carroll.
So John Carroll, yeah, outside of Cleveland.
Yep.
Yeah, and you played Heidelberg?
Yeah, listen, before I got to Carroll, they got absolutely smoked by this team. This kind of was like a rugged, tough, really have a lot of respect for this football team. They've had a lot of NFL guys come out of there. And, you know, I think they lost like 42-14 the year before Tommy and I got there. And that was a rivalry that we really had to turn around. And they always played us tough. And That was a big game in that 2016 season, kind of our best season, that magical season that we had. And we had a good game plan. They had a really good runner and really good receiver who ended up going to the NFL, Dante Dye. So we ended up kind of taking him out of the game. And so that's what I was doing 5 years ago.
That's amazing. Now, did Coach Shula go to John Carroll?
Yeah, Coach Shula is the most famous Carroll alum.
But then you add, you know, Dayton had John Gruden, Jerry Fallison, Chuck Knoll.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Coach Knoll. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know how many schools have head coaches who won a Super Bowl, and Dayton's got two, and then you'll be the third.
Well, you're too kind. Well, I coached with, you know, the guy that brought me into the NFL is John Fox, and Foxy means so much to me. I certainly wouldn't be here without him. And he coached for Chuck Knoll, and he's one of those guys that, you know, man, I wish I could have met him. Because just the stories that people have about him and how he led that football team and just a lot of the coaches that have kind of come out of there, you know, Tony Dungy and all these amazing coaches. Like, I'm a proud UD. I'm proud to share that UD alumni with Coach Nolan and John, for sure.
Great to talk to you again, Coach. Congratulations on the win. Good luck Monday night against John Gruden and company.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Have
a great day. That's Brandon Staley.